Read that again. Verse 5, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You need to ask yourself, what exalts itself against the knowledge of God? All those that don't believe in God. All those that do not follow God. To include the country that I know and love as the United States of America. If this country does not follow God, then it does not have God in its vocabulary, and it doesn't have God looking over it, just the Christians. Today I'm giving you a history lesson, and I need you to be attentive today. Good morning to those that are on Facebook. I need you to listen, and you can turn me off if you want, but those that are here and those that are listening, the word needs to get out. And I'm going to ask you that if you have the guts to share it on your social media, because where I'm going is some place that you don't normally hear from the pulpit. And hopefully I build upon this next week. The greatest weapon Satan has is to keep his opponent silent. Would you agree? Yes. Satan uses the church against itself. We're fighting a battle that is church versus church. The church fights itself. I know most of you in here. Most of you that are in here, I know you. I know that you've got to walk with the Lord. I know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Most of you. Some of you, maybe not. And I pray that you could find the understanding how much God loves you and that Jesus gave his life for you and that you would come to that knowledge for those listening and those that are here, if he's not. But because I already know this, I'm not going to stand up here and just talk to you about how much God loves you, because there's a bigger issue happening right now. You see, the church is falling away. There are people leaving the church, and there is a media force out there that lifts its head and lifts its word against the knowledge of God. It totally has removed God from its framework, which used to be part of its framework, but has totally removed it from its framework. And it's only by the Christian having a voice that something can be said and done about it. 2 Corinthians 6:3 says this, we put no obstruction in anybody's way. That's us. We give no offense in anything so that no fault may be found and our ministry blamed and discredited. We don't want it to be blamed and discredited. But here's the problem with this. So this scripture, I think, you ever heard of the frozen chosen? I believe this scripture has totally frozen individuals from saying anything because they're afraid that maybe their ministry is going to be discredited or something like that. But I'm here to tell you, fear will silence you. Sometimes you can become so afraid of doing something wrong, you don't do anything at all. There's a point where as the church, we have to take a chance. And that means that whether it's popular or not, you have to stand on who you are as a Christian. Yes. Yes. And what that Christian value means, because it is so much more than just you going to heaven. It is how the whole process of you and your life and everything around you will function. I don't try to cast demons out of somebody's home that's not a Christian, because it's no use. They'll come back. The world has been possessed, and Christians have been oppressed. And we've been oppressed by laws that have come down from government. And I'm going to explain some of these things and lay out a timeline so that hopefully it becomes crystal clear to you. You've heard it said, there is a silent majority. Who's heard that before? A silent majority. Who's also heard this? The church is a sleeping giant. Have you heard that before? Why do you think we're called asleep, and why do you think we're the silent majority? We're the silent majority. This is us. The silent majority is the church, and the sleeping giant is the church. And we're silent because we've had a gag order put in place from government. Title of today's message, not anymore. Not anymore. Not anymore.
Hallelujah!
You see, my job, if you call pastoring a job, my job is to poke the sleeping giant. Sometimes when you get poked, it's a little uncomfortable. Sometimes when you're woke out of that slumber that you're in, you want to kind of go back to sleep. If I haven't slept long enough, let me go back to sleep, please. I'm the alarm clock today. I want to bring to you truth, and I'm going to challenge you as a faithful Berean, as the Bible says, to go and research what I'm talking about today. I want you to look it up for yourself so that you may come to your own conclusion in the knowledge that I'm going to share with you. Because I'm here to tell you there's people in here and people listening that are in complete disagreement with what I will share today. But that's okay, because I'm not here for amusement. I'm here to bring you the truth. I'm here to speak the truth to you as an American patriot who loves God with all his heart. And that's what I stand on. My job is to remove the gag that has been placed in your mouth. And that gag started with pastors in the pulpit. Not you. It was us that weren't brave enough to speak because we were afraid of the possibility of loss. Whether you like it or not, you've got to hear the truth. The latest statistics I could find show that 70% of Americans claim to be Christian. That's down from 80%, down from 85%. Latest statistics, 70% of America claim to be Christian. Maybe in action, some only by name. Not my job to figure that out. Okay? 70%. 70%. Is a majority. Do you hear what I'm saying? Maybe you don't hear what I'm saying. Listen, 70% is the majority. Most of America, even if it's not 70, even if it's 60, even if it's 51%, most of America is Christian. Do you hear what I'm saying? How in the world can a country that is mostly Christian lose Christian values and rights? How does that happen? Had no voice, sleeping giant, silent majority, not anymore, not anymore. 30 million Christians, estimated 30 million Christians, had no voice in 2016 at the election. Yes, Pastor Mike is talking about politics from the pulpit. And I am going to continue to talk about politics from the pulpit. And there are people listening and people here right now, I guarantee you, that are squirming in your seat saying, that does not belong in the pulpit. And I'm here to tell you that is a lie from hell. That is a lie from hell. This is a country founded on Judeo-Christian values, and we're afraid to talk about the serious things in life. So what happens is the church stays its own little circle because you've misrepresented and misunderstood, probably pastor's fault, that the separation of church and state has nothing to do with the church being separate from the state. There's currently 328 million Americans in the United States, and that means that there are approximately 229,740,000 that are Christian. The majority claim to be Christian. Please follow me. The last poll I could find said that 24% of 74 million Americans were under the age of 18. So we know that when it comes to the polls and it comes to going to vote, they can't vote. You got to be 18 years of age to vote. Listen, if you are 18 years of age or older in here listening, your job, your duty, your obligation is go to the polls and vote. If you're a Christian, your job and duty and obligation is to go to the polls and vote. We are 30 days out from an election. And I'm going to lay some things out. Using that same 24%, That would equal about 55 million American Christians under the age of 18. That still leaves 175 million Christians that can have a voice. But 30 million in 2016 chose to have no voice, probably because they did not like the candidates, and they just said, you know what, I'm just not even going to worry about it. Or they were under the mindset that there's a separation between church and state, and it's not my job or my obligation to go vote. Either way, it's the pastor's fault, because we haven't spoke and taught. This is a place where you're to learn. This is a place to be taught. This is a place for instruction. Yes?
Yes.
So I'm bringing instruction today. Your job is to vote if you are 18 years of age or older. It is your job to go and vote. We will talk about who to vote for in a minute. There are only 10 million people in the entire state of Michigan, counting women and children, everybody. To count everybody, there's only 10 million people in Michigan. But 30 million Christians across this great country didn't even go to the polls. That's equivalent to 3+ states that didn't even go and have a voice. They just remained silent. No more. Not anymore. Mario Murillo, some of you may have heard of him. He's a pastor evangelist. And he was accused of being political by another pastor because he's come out and he's speaking. And he was told that you're being political and you shouldn't be that way. And Mario asked him, why that this pastor, he asked the other pastor, why aren't you discussing tough issues from the pulpit? And he said, because I don't want to lose congregants. Come on. And Mario said, you mean you don't want to lose votes? Now who's more political? If you know me, you know I love you. If you know me. If you know me, you know that I have your best interests in mind. If you know me. I am not worried about losing votes. I am not worried about someone saying, I can't listen to this, and just taking off. I am not going to put myself in that situation, because there's a life and death thing that takes place that is very serious about Jesus Christ being your Lord and Savior. But once Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, we are Americans in a great country, and we have an obligation for this country that was founded on Judeo-Christian values to stay that way. I don't care if you don't like a certain opponent because of the way they talk or look or smell or whatever. Your moral absolutes need to be rock solid. Your moral absolutes that stand on Jesus Christ need to be founded on Jesus Christ. One side believes, the other side doesn't. How, Pastor Mike, how can you say someone doesn't believe? I will bring some things to you. Research them yourself. The First Amendment. Who's ever heard of the First Amendment? The freedom of speech and the freedom of religion. Whatever religion you want to be. First Amendment. First Amendment reads this. The First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution states that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Is that clear? Is that clear? The two parts, thank you for that. The two parts known as the Establishment Clause and the Free Exercise Clause, respectively, form the textual basis for the Supreme Court's interpretation of the separation of church and state doctrine. Now, let me make this clear. The church and state doctrine is not part of the First Amendment. It's a clause to the First Amendment that Thomas Jefferson wrote a letter and said that there is a wall of separation between church and state. Oh, but you have to hear what I'm... It was never intended to separate the church from the state. It was intended to protect the church from the state. It's so very vitally important that you understand this as a Christian, as an American Christian. It is so vitally important that you understand the separation of church and state means the church does whatever, the state does whatever. No, if we're the majority, the state does what we say. Did you hear what I'm saying? If we're the majority, the state does what the church says if they go to the polls and vote. If you go and do your obligation to put somebody in office that protects the right to life, that protects the freedom of religion, then you are doing the work of God. And the First Amendment goes on. And it says, this is for the textual basis of the Supreme Court's interpretation of the separation of church and state, this doctrine. Three central concepts were derived from the First Amendment, which became America's doctrine for church-state separation. No coercion in religious matters, no expectation to support a religion against one's own will, and one, religious freedom. Religious freedom. Religious freedom. Religious freedom. Listen to me. There are governors right now that have said churches need to shut down. And they have made executive orders to shut churches down. And in the state of Michigan, the order was put out but not enforced. So we have remained open. But in other states where democratically run governors are running it, they have put this order out and they have incarcerated pastors. They have done things to keep the churches shut down. Do you hear what I'm saying? And they were put in by the people. The church is the majority. And we've been quiet. Not anymore. Not anymore. And it gets better on how things got worse. We set the course of the state. Is that clear? Every state is its own country, united in these United States. The Federation of the United States, every state stands independent as its own country. Do you hear me? We, as Christians, set the course of the state in which we live in. We, as Christians, as a nation, set the course of the country that we live in. But it's been a small minority that's been boisterous that has changed the course of the silent majority. Yeah. You ever heard the saying, squeaky wheel gets the oil? Yeah. Come on, start squeaking. Yeah. Start squeaking. Woo. So in 1954, 66 years ago, prior to that, we had a the church had a very strong voice in politics. For 170 years, the church had a very strong voice in politics. Matter of fact, the political arena was set and arranged and led by God. Every piece of material and writing that you find dating back to 1776 was about God and country. All of our forefathers knew that to run a country in the right way, it needed to be ran by somebody who was godly and somebody who had God number one in their life. That's how this country was formed and founded. But in 1954, then Senator Lyndon B. Johnson of the state of Texas made an amendment called the Johnson Amendment. The Johnson Amendment, he introduced because he was trying to shut up two people that were going against him, two people that were criticizing him, two critics. So he's like, you know what, let's do this Johnson Amendment. Let me read to you. The Johnson Amendment, 1954, the America that we know started to change. The Johnson Amendment is a provision in the U.S. tax code since 1954 that, listen to this, prohibits all 501c3 nonprofit organizations from endorsing or opposing political candidates. Section 501c3 organizations are the most common type of nonprofit organization in the United States, ranging from charitable foundations to universities and churches. By the way, these nonprofit organizations spend about $1 trillion a year helping people. about $1 trillion a year in this country helping people, churches. But this is where the church became silent. Because the church at this point, and I don't believe this was Lyndon B. Johnson's, I don't believe it was his initial purpose. But at that point, it became a very powerful gag order for the church to shut up. Because we are a 501c3 nonprofit organization that makes us tax exempt. So the church does not have to pay taxes, property taxes, or anything like that. You understand what I'm saying? But if we were to endorse or oppose a political candidate from the pulpit, in your own little area, your own little circles, it's fine. But from the pulpit, then we were at jeopardy of losing our 501c3 tax exempt endorsement. So it shut pastors up from the pulpit because any little bit, this church only functions because of you. And the more money we got to put out in other things, the harder it is to function. Do you hear what I'm saying? So the church shut up. Oh. In the 21st century, some politicians, including President Donald Trump, have sought to repeal the provision, arguing that it restricts the free speech rights of churches and other religious groups. These efforts have been criticized because churches have fewer reporting requirements than other nonprofit organizations and because it would effectively make political contributions tax deductible. On May 4th, God bless President Trump, on May 4th, 2017, Trump signed an executive order to defend the freedom of religion and speech for the purpose of easing the Johnson Amendment. Not anymore. You don't have to be silent, Pastor. We don't have to be silent. The church doesn't have to be silent. Let this word get out. Open your mouth. Go to the polls and speak and vote and let your voice be heard. Maybe I should preface it with let a godly voice be heard. One that stands for the rights of the unborn. And the freedom of religion, whether you're Muslim or Buddhist or Hindu or whatever, this is for our religion. Yeah. But who got persecuted and shut up? The Christian. Why? Because we're the majority. Because that's how this country was founded. Is this okay, history lesson? We continue on. The word endorsement, you see, it hit the pocketbook, but the word endorsement simply means declare one's public approval of or support of. That's all it means. But I couldn't from the pulpit prior to 2017 say, man, I support Donald Trump as president of the United States because it could hinder this ministry ever being a part of anything. And so as pastors, you kind of like weigh the benefit and risk. And you're kind of like, well, how will people come to the Lord? How will they know about the Lord if the ministry gets shut down? And you feel like an island all by yourself standing alone. But we are the majority. Churches, pastors all across this land, you're not alone. You're not alone. Stand up. Speak. Be recognized. Go to the polls in 30 days and cast your vote. This is the timeline since 1954. If you don't think that the enemy has been at work in politics by shutting the church up, I got something for you. This is a timeline. This is a minute portion of a timeline of things that have taken place. 1954, the Johnson Amendment put into place. Gag order on churches. In 1962, prayer removed from schools. Oh, and it gets even bigger than that. When prayer was removed from school, it goes on and says, now get this, it's voluntary prayer. It was voluntary prayer in school. They went on further and said, you can't even do voluntary silent prayer in school. If maybe some of you were alive at this time, but you used to open in prayer in school prior to my time, and it didn't declare what God, it just said God, okay, God, general term, but it was a voluntary prayer that prayed for the parents, the teachers, and this country. Are you kidding me? And they got rid of it. That was so bad because it might hurt 3% of the population's feelings. I love America, but we got to get smart. We have to use our brains that God gave us, and we have to stand on some moral absolutes, man. I mean, I'm flabbergasted when I sit around and I go, 3% has changed the entire nation because they had a voice, Nothing stopped them. What's stopping you? Nothing stopped them. Prayer was taken, removed from school in 1973. Roe versus Wade, legal abortion came into place. I was sitting at a table with Pastor Weldon and a couple other people. And Pastor Weldon and I are for President Trump. And these other people were not for President Trump. And we were having a very nice conversation. And we were talking, it was nice, it was a good conversation. It was a good conversation because they're Christians. And I asked them about, Pastor Weldon, about the right to life. And all three of these Christians, hear what I'm saying. Please hear what I'm saying. All three of these Christians believe that abortion was wrong. But they're for putting somebody in office who is for abortion. I don't get that. Explain it to me. It makes no sense whatsoever. Therefore, these are Christian ministers that are for putting somebody in office that is against the freedom of religion. I don't get it. And so they challenged me. And they said, well, you just want Trump because he's going to protect your guns. Now, any of you that know me know that I was 9 years Army and that I'm an avid outdoorsman. I have guns. Yes, I do. But you need to hear what I'm saying. I am not worried about President Trump being there to protect my guns because the guns are protect me from a tyrannical government. And I am not telling you to take up arms. I'm not telling you to take up arms. I'm telling you to take up prayer and go to the polls and vote and have a voice. The First Amendment was put into place to protect speech and the freedom of religion. The Second Amendment, the right to bear arms, was put in place to protect you so that that didn't get infringed upon. But it got infringed upon in 1954. Do you hear what I'm saying? And we got quiet because we thought pocketbooks would be hurt. I'm not blaming anybody. I get the process. Thank God we have got a president that overturned that, that put an executive order in place that said, no, we're not going to enforce that the way it should be, so that the church can once again have a voice. Because there's still people today, right now, Christian brothers and sisters, ask them, who are you voting for? Either they're afraid to say, or they'll say, I don't know, I haven't decided yet. My gosh, it's the writing on the wall is clear as day. One is for God and one isn't. What more do you need to know? Yeah. Are you a Christian or not? Are you Christian in name or by association because your mom and dad are? You see, a lot of people are Democrat because their mom and dad raised them that way. A lot of people are Democrat because they were unionized in the unions, and that's how they go. I was raised as a Democrat. I was also raised as agnostic or not believing in God, but coming from the theory of evolution. But there's a time where you grow up, and there's a time where you realize some things, and you realize the truth behind some things. We have a duty as a Christian and an American to defend the right to life. Traditional marriage and religious freedom. Traditional marriage. If I say something against homosexuality, somebody says you're a homophobe. Wrong, liar, not true. I am for traditional marriage, though. Traditional marriage is biblical marriage. Homosexual marriage is not biblical marriage. I am for biblical, not normal. Those of you on Facebook, I'm for biblical, not normal. Okay? I'm not for what the society says. I'm for what the Bible says. If you're a Christian, you should be for what the Bible says. I don't think that's too harsh. I don't think that's too harsh to say. I think these are the truths that need to come out. I'm not afraid to lose votes. I believe there's enough people in here that love God and love this country that you're going to stay. I believe enough of you are in here that you want the things of God to get better in this country. And so I'm good with that. I think that's cool. James 2, 14 through 16 says, my brothers and sisters, what good does it do if someone claims to have faith but doesn't do any good things? Can this kind of faith save him? Verse 15, suppose a believer, whether a man or a woman, needs clothes or food, and one of you tells him to the person, God be with you, stay warm, and make sure you eat enough. If you don't provide for that person's physical needs, what good does it do? See, 30 million of Christians, I believe those 30 million Christians in 2016 that didn't vote, they were probably in their home going, Lord, I pray that someone godly gets into office instead of doing something about it. Come on. instead of doing something about it. And they're just prayerful. Lord, please that this happen. Now, I don't discredit the power of prayer by any means. The power of prayer is awesome because I believe it was answered and Trump got into office. All right? But you need to hear what I'm saying. Listen. Whether you like him or not, Trump has done more for religious freedom of all religions and Christians than any president in the past whatever years. Whether you like him or not, as a Christian, listen, I'm going to tell it like this. If you like meeting in here, if you like fellowshipping as brothers and sisters in the Lord, if you like this, if you like going out over Facebook, continue on putting somebody in office that doesn't believe God or doesn't have those rulings a part of their heart. Put them in office because this isn't going to continue. We will become the underground church. We will be like a communist nation in China. That is not make-believe. Slowly by slowly, little by little, things continue to change. Legal abortion, 1973. So, I didn't finish my story. Those pastor, those individuals that we were speaking with that are Christians, three of which don't like Trump, questioned me, not only about the Second Amendment, but they said, what if your daughter was raped? That's what they told me. This is something where somebody always goes. These are the tough questions, right, guys? What if your daughter was raped? Would you want her to have an abortion? And before I could answer, because I can't answer that question, you know, my answer is going to be, no, I wouldn't want her to have an abortion. But my gosh, that would be very traumatic, right? But here's the deal. Take all of self out of it and put it in God. One of the individuals sitting with us, who's not for Trump, but against abortion, said, whoa, stop right there. I'm a product of rape. My mom was raped, and I was born. And boy, you want to talk about shut up face. Immediately, the others were like, wow. But it was great because they said, I've never heard it in that light. Thank you for sharing. Because, see, everybody's got a story and a testimony. I still don't understand how you can be one-sided but not see. I see God is the God of this world, little g, the God of this world, is really good at blinding us. Really, really good, because little by little, see, he's the father of lies and he creeps in to deceive. And so we kind of go by our way. We meet every Sunday because we still have that right and privilege to do so. But little by little, your freedoms as a Christian are being taken away. Little by little, it continues to bring hurt to this country. Is it bad to say prayer in school? My gosh, when they talk to these people, when they did a poll, at that time, 97% of the country was Christian. 97%! But it might hurt 3% of their feelings. So they took it out. In 1980, they took the Ten Commandments off the walls in public school. Now, listen, nobody is made to look at the Ten Commandments. Nobody is made to recite these Ten Commandments, although they were from the primer back in the 1700s and 1800s. They used a primer. And that's, do you know the Bible is what taught early America? Did you know every school that was founded, the colleges, were Christian colleges? How far have we come? Berkeley, one of the most liberal, progressive, out-of-the-whack world colleges out there, used to be a Christian college. Used to be a seminary. Wow. This is the ground that we're losing. But if it's not laid out before us, I don't think we even know. Are you guys learning anything new? Okay. All right, good, because we need to be awakened to some of these things. Because if, Jesus, help me, Lord, help me. In 2015, same-sex marriage came in. Our judicial system, we have a Supreme Court justice that has just been nominated. The right, the Republicans, President Trump, me, think it's an amazing thing because she's a constitutionalist. What does that mean? It means that she's going to read the Constitution for what it was written. She's not going to try to interpret and worry about whether or not it hurts 3% of the population's feelings. Do you hear what I'm saying? It is important that she be put in because the Supreme Court are the ones that are making rules and changing our Constitution and changing the foundation of what a Judeo-Christian nation was based on. Why has America been so strong? Because it's been for God. It's been for God. Yes, we have issues. Yes, we go through problems. So does everybody. But we have kept one democracy since inception, whereas other countries have changed democracy, changed. They go from this to that to the other. We have kept one because it's been founded on one truth, the Word of God. But there is a group out there that is trying to steal from that. There's a group out there trying to take from that. It's time to wake up. I'm poking you, and I'm taking the gag out. I'm waking the sleeping giant, and I'm taking the gag, or not anymore will we be silent. Amen. So, when I was a little kid, I used to go to the racetrack with my dad, the horse races. From about the ages of 4 to 10, he would pick me up. My mom and him were divorced. And he'd do what he wants to do, so he'd take me to the racetrack. And we would go there, and he'd say, "Hey, son, I want you to have some fun, too. Here's $2. I want you to go place a bet on a horse." So I look at it, and I learned there's win, place, and show, you know, and I'm thinking, I figured out that if they even come in third and I bet to show, which is third place, man, I'll win money, right? So I'm this little kid, and I go out there, and so I would stand out there, and I would look. They would parade the horses up and down on the jockeys and stuff like that before the race. And I would look at them, and I would be like, "Wow, look at the color of that jockey's uniform. Oh, my gosh, that horse is so beautiful. What's its name? Delta Dream. Oh." And I would pick the horses based on how they looked, how flashy they were, the name. That's how I pick it. There are people, there are Christians. I'm not worried about the world. I'm worried about the silent majority. There are Christians picking presidents, picking governors, picking senators, picking congressmen in the ballot box based on how they look and how they speak. No background whatsoever. Not looking for the moral absolutes that they will represent and stand on. They're only looking at, you know, this person once, long time ago, maybe have done this and this and this. And you get concerned with that instead of the party that they back. The process, I should say this next week, but let me try and lay this out. The Pledge of Allegiance to the Republic for which I stand. To the Republic. It doesn't say to the democracy. The Republic is for God. The democracy is for the whim of the world. Democrat is for the whim of the world. Democracy, whim of the world. Republic, to the Republican, God. So, we just had the speeches. What do you call them? The not the debates, the one before that. The GOP the conventions, right. We just had the conventions. The Republican convention opened in prayer. Yes. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yep.
They said the Pledge of Allegiance, one nation under God. The other side, the Democratic side, totally omitted under God. Now, this is very interesting. Under God was not part of the Pledge of Allegiance until 1954, the same year the Johnson Amendment came in. But why take it out? You take it out because it doesn't fit the agenda. How can one consciously say, "I'm for God," but want to kill babies? That's Satan. That's wicked. That's witchcraft. That's murder. It is not good. So they're not going to say one nation under God. They're going to take those things away because they're also coming against your religious freedom. You need to hear what I'm saying. See, I declare that 2020 is the best year ever. Because I declare that there's a great awakening coming. You see, there's been four awakenings in the United States of America, but I believe there's a fifth awakening coming. I believe there's an awakening of the church that is going to find its voice, that you're going to sing out, and that you're not going to be silenced. Nobody's going to shut you up, but you're going to be proud of who you are in your heritage. And I know the Bible says pride comes before the fall, but listen, I'm proud of my daughter, okay? I'm not prideful, I'm proud of her. Don't get so confused, but I am blessed to be an American. And I'm proud to be an American. I feel like a Lee Greenwood song should start playing. Where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died that gave that right to me. And I'll proudly stand up and defend her still today. Because there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. Amen. Amen. Can I continue on? We have to find what our moral absolutes. Let me put it another way. French fries. Go to food. Everybody likes food. French fries taste good. Smell good. They look good. They're bad for you. Brussels sprouts taste bad. Smell bad. Look bad. They're like an imitation lettuce. But they're good for you. In this country, in 30 days, you have a choice to pick something that's going to be good or something that's going to be bad. And as a Christian, I believe, as a pastor and a Christian, I believe that you as a Christian have a moral obligation to protect the innocent. With all of my heart, I believe that, because somebody needs to be the voice. There were a group of pastors that were asked one time, they were asked, do you think that the Bible covers the tough questions, like building the wall, same-sex marriage, transgenderism? Do you think the Bible covers that? And over 90% of them said, yeah. Over 90% of them said, yeah. You know, as far as like border walls and protection, because President Trump took a hit for that, right? The Bible says that we are to not forget the foreigner and to welcome them. But the Bible also says that they are to be under the same laws as us. That's simple, right? My family came over as immigrants too, but they came the right way. Do you lock your door? Do you lock your house? You could have 1,000 people walk by your house and nobody want to do anything wrong. But there was just that one person that possibly could want to cause you harm, and that's why you lock your house. It's the same way with protecting the borders of our country. That's all that is. It has nothing to do, and people say, well, he separates the children from the parents. I'm here to tell you that in the United States of America, if you go to prison or jail, you're separated from your children. Does that not make sense? Do you hear what I'm saying? If you go to jail, does your child go with you? If you break the law, does your child go with you? So when somebody comes over and they broke the law and they separate, should the child be with them? Just hear what I'm saying. It's just the process of understanding some things, guys. If you think the country should be open, don't ever lock your door again. Let your car be stolen, whatever. And I'm just throwing out some kind of real-world things. But the Bible covers this stuff. And there's a protection in place for a reason. John 17, 14 through 15. I've given them thy word, and thy world had hated them, because they are not of this world. That's you. You're not of this world. Even as I am not of the world. That's Jesus. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world. Jesus didn't want us taken out of the world, but that they should be kept from evil. Gag order, evil starts to flow. Because it is the people from the top that make the decisions. Do you hear what I'm saying? We're not of this world, but we're in the world. And we have to do what is right. The government, for the people, by the people, we the people. The government is only put into office by us. They work for us. But the majority of this country have people in place working against them, because the silent majority has said nothing, not anymore. The minority, the loud minority, has been speaking all along. It's time to be recognized. It's time to stand up. So here we are, as I lay it out. You have to have a voice and you have to be heard. We're 30 days out from election. One party stands for God and country. The other stands for no God and government. One stands for law and order. Defend the police. The other, chaos and anarchy. Defund the police. One protects your Christian rights. The other slowly is taking them away. One stands for the right of life. The other stands for infant genocide. One stands for the flag and kneels for the cross, and the other is blinded by the god of this world. There are two types of pastors, shepherds and hirelings. A hireling is going to run in the face of danger. They will not shepherd the flock. And I don't want to stand before you as a hireling. I stand before you as a shepherd. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 4, 11 through 15, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. That's you. Say, that's me. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of faith, and that the knowledge of the Son of God, who is going to perfect us unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Quit believing the media. By the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is in the head, even Christ Jesus. Trump 2020. Yes. 66 years. 66 years, you will hear Christian documentaries that give the history. For 66 years, you will hear about how much God loves you and loves this country. But for 66 years, you have not heard from the pulpit who to vote for. I am telling you, and you do what you want, but I am telling you, it is in the best interest of the innocent. It is the best interest of the sanctity of marriage. It is in the best interest of this country. It is in the best interest as a Christian to vote for Trump. Two sides. You only have Trump and Biden. You only have Trump and Biden. One is for a party that is far left and progressive and takes God out. The other is for God. I love you. And I tell you the truth. Let's stand in prayer. Now, Father, Father, your word tells us that you have raised an army that has sat on its hands for too long. Father, I'm an American. I am a Christian, but I'm an American, and I love this country. And Father, I know that there are people that are in power that aren't fully for you. But Father, I pray that we can see beyond those things. I pray that we can see beyond our distrust and our dislike, but look to see what will be held up. Father, I pray for the Supreme Court nominee, that she would be put into office, a constitutionalist that will support what this country was founded on, Judeo-Christian values. I pray that you will put godly men and women into office. I pray that the church will wake up. I pray that we find our voice. I pray that we go to the polls. I pray that our vote counts. And Lord, we know that regardless of what happens, we win. But Lord, I'm calling this country to come back to you. I'm calling the fathers to come back to you. I'm calling the children to not be fatherless anymore. I'm calling for the sanctity of marriage. I'm calling for the right to life, to protect the innocent. I'm calling for that religious freedom to rule and reign. And I'm calling for my Christian brothers and sisters to be recognized. Father, I pray that you bless those that are here and those that listen. I pray, God, that if there are none that know you, that they would come to know you as Lord and Savior. I pray, Lord, Father, you've fired us up and you've inspired us for reasons. Let it not be just to worship you on Sunday morning in a closed church building. But Father, I pray that we would go out and be the church, that we would stay on fire and empowered for you, knowing, Father, that we would have a new sense of freedom, knowing who we are as Christians in this great country. We are not silenced. We have a voice. In Jesus' name, God bless you, and God bless America.